Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Yuma Daf Samach Dalid. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you're not fully familiar with our Gemara Marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief four-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf Gemara before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. We begin today's shiur 5 lines from the top of Daf Samach Dalid. We have a quote from the Mishnah. It says, Im shel shem mace, ze sha'ola olov vechule. We are dealing with the two goats, that the two goat offerings, or one is actually a sent away goat, and the other is an offering, a sin offering, a chatos l'Hashem. And the Mishnah deals with the situation where one of them dies before its time. The Mishnah, of course, that we're referring to is on Daf Samach Beis Amud Aleph. We continue with the topic heading on the side of the Gemara. We have a Nosei Mivneh heading, where we have a topic heading and a structural note. Mace, we have written on the side, Mace HaMishtaleach, if the goat that is designed to be sent away to atone for the sins of Israel, if that animal died before it was sent away, Magrilim Oid Pam, we do the lot drawing again in order to determine which one will be our replacement for the send away animal. Yu Achshav Shnayim Lashem. As a result, you're now going to have two goats that are going to be labeled as Chatos Lashem. Mi mehem makrivim. Which one am I to choose to offer as the sacrifice, whose blood, of course, is sprinkled in the Kodesh HaKodoshim? Machlekes Rav v'Rabbi Yochanan. We will see that we've used a double underlining to highlight where Rav and Rabbi Yochanan present their reasons. We will see then a Machlekes Rav and Rabbi Yochanan. Do I choose the original Chatos Lashem, or am I to choose the replacement one for the purpose of offering? So now let's turn to the Gemara. After the Mishnah presented the situation of one of them dying, and let us say the send-away goat dies, and I have to choose a replacement for it, so I'm going to bring two more goats and draw lots. One of them will be my replacement, Soyer La'azazel, the send-away goat, and the other one will be labeled a Soyer Lashem. At that point then, as we said, we have two Soyer Lashems. A Soyer Lashem, I know we're sounding a bit repetitious, but that means we have two goats that are labeled a sin offering to atone on behalf of Israel as far as Tumas Mikdash Bekadosh was concerned. One of them is to be chosen to be slaughtered, and its blood is sprinkled in the Kodesh HaKadoshim and the Heichal as well. Which one do you choose? Which one of the two Soyer Lashems are you to choose? Omar Rav. So Rav says, Sheni Shebezug Rishon Yikrav. Sheni Shebezug Sheni Yireh. Very simply, it means choose the first one. You are to use the first one. It's the second of the two animals in the first pair. And the second Lashem, the new one from the second pair that was just chosen, that is sent out to graze. You don't use it. You send it out to graze till it develops a blemish, and then you would redeem it. Rabbi Yochanan Omar, Sheni Shebezug Rishon Yireh, Sheni Shebezug Sheni Yikrav. Rabbi Yochanan, on the other hand, says, choose the second one, the new Soyer Lashem. As far as the Soyer Lashem of the first pair, that is not used. It's sent out to graze until it develops a blemish and is eventually redeemed. B'mai komifliki, what's the underlying point of controversy? Rav Sova, Rav says, choose the first one, the original Soyer Lashem, he holds Bale Chaim Einon Nidchin, live animals, as opposed to slaughtered sacrificial animals, and all you have left is its blood in a cup. Not so. In this case, we're talking about live animals. Remember, we had two Soyer Lashems. We had the original one, and now the new one. The original one is still alive, hence it's called Balei Chaim, and Eino Nidchin means it cannot be pushed away. So as far as Rav is concerned, even though there was an interim problem, meaning at the point that its mate, its Soyer Lazozel, died, even though that presented a problem, nevertheless, by drawing lots on a new pair and choosing a new Soyer Lazozel, that solves the problem. And as such, Rav will tell you, when you have a problem that arises concerning a live animal, that live animal, in our case the original Soyer Lashem, is not rejected. Einon Nidchin. For Rabbi Yochanan Sofar, Balei Chaim Nidchin. Rabbi Yochanan disagrees. Rabbi Yochanan, who says, choose the new Soyer Lashem, that's because the first Soyer Lashem, once its mate died, rendering it useless at that point. And as we'll call it a temporary problem, but as far as Rabbi Yochanan is concerned, once it's exposed to a problem, in this case its mate died, preventing the ceremony or the ritual from continuing until a replacement one was found, that is enough to render it unfit. Even though it's alive, Nidchin, it is rejected. My Taimo de Rav. Now the Gemara seeks out a basis for Rav. Rav says that you use the original Soyer Lashem. The diamonds appear, and on the side we have a diamond featured under our Mivneh heading, Chipus Basis L'Divrei Rav. We're looking for a basis for Rav. Shoma Rishon, choose the first one, Beglal She'ein Balei Chaim Nidchin, because of this idea that live animals are not subject to rejection. There might be a temporary disqualification that does not serve to totally reject it. So where does Rav get this idea from? Answer, the Yolev Mimachusar Zman. This is the first attempt. We have another one coming up later. We learned from the phenomenon of something called Mechusar Zman. That is an animal that hasn't reached its eighth day of life. Mechusar Zman, it means it's missing time. It hasn't. Its time for offering hasn't yet arrived. Now, Mechusar Zman, lav afagav dahash de lochozi, ki hodar mechsi shapridomi, is it not so that an animal, initially when it's born, it's not fit, but when it reaches its eighth day, it is fit to be offered as a sacrifice? Mechusar Zman is a concept that applies to sacrifices. In other words, until it reaches its eighth day, you cannot slaughter it as a sacrifice. Once it reaches its eighth day, it becomes fit. Hocha Nami, so to hear, when the Mishtaleach dies, when the Soyer Lazozel dies, the original Soyer Lashem is rendered unfit, and then when I find the replacement Soyer Lazozel, it becomes fit. So Lo Shno, so too over here. In the case of where the Soyer Lazozel dies, even though there's a point at which it's not fit, that does not render it useless. And therefore the first Soyer Lashem can be used. The Gemara says, "Mi domi." How can you compare the case of Mechusar's man, where we say the animal during its first 7 days of life is unfit and then becomes fit, to the case of our Sawyer Lashem, that at the point that the Sur Meshtalech dies, it becomes unfit and then will become fit again? There's no comparison, though. Hosam lo ischazi klal. In the case of Mechusar's man, from the point it's born till the eighth day, it's not fit at all. Prior to its eighth day, it never experienced a point of eligibility. It was not fit. It was too young for serving as a sacrifice. Hacha, however, in our case of the first Sawyer Lashem, nir'eh v'nidche, it was fit, and then was pushed away, then became unfit. That is considered in halachic terms a worse case. It was fit, and then became unfit. That's called nir'eh v'nidche. It was fit, and then became unfit. And that's, as we said, we're repeating ourselves, but that's a worse case. And hence, you cannot use Mechusar's man as a precedent for allowing the use of the first Sawyer Lashem. Elo hainu taimo de Rav. Rather, the following is the basis of Rav, who said, choose the original Sawyer Lashem. Diyolif mi baal mum oiver. It can be derived from the case of a transitory blemish on an animal. If I, let us say, sanctified an animal, I was makdish an animal, and it developed a transitory, a passing blemish. What is the rule? Baal mum oiver, lav afogav delo chozi hashto. Is it not so that even though right now it's not fit, in other words, it was fit when I sanctified it, it was blemish-free, it developed a blemish, but of a transitory nature. So right now it's not fit. Ki hoder mechsi shapir domi. When it becomes fit, namely, when the transitory mum in fact departs, it disappears, you can offer it. Hocha nami lo shna. So too in our case of the original Sawyer Lashem. It was originally fit, as we indicated before, it was nireh. Then its mate died, rendering it unfit. And then a new Sawyer Lazozel was found, restoring the eligibility of our first Sawyer Lashem. So this would model, or this would parallel the case of the Baal Mum Ovair. And just like in the case of the Baal Mum Ovair, you can still use it as a sacrifice, so too in the case of our original Sawyer Lashem. Use it now that I have a replacement. That would be the equivalent of the passing, of this disappearance of the transitory blemish. The Hosam Minolon. In the case of the Baal Mum Ovair, what is the basis, what's the source, the mocker, that is acceptable? That even though it experienced an interim disqualification, it becomes eligible upon the blemish's disappearance. Dichtiv, the pasuk says, ki moshchasam bohem mum bom. This pasuk addresses the issue of a blemished animal being unfit for a sacrifice. And we darshan mum bom hu delo yerotsu. When the blemish is present, then it is unacceptable. Ha ovar mumon yerotsu. If the mum passes, it becomes acceptable again. So we have a model or a precedent for Rav's din concerning the choice of the first, the original Sawyer Lashem. For Rabbi Yochanan, now he has to respond to that. He says the original Sawyer Lashem is rejected. Does it not parallel, though, the case of the Baal Mum Ovair? So Rabbi Yochanan says, Mi'et Rachmona, there is a limitation in the case of Baal Mum Bohem. We just saw this 2 lines above. Kimosh Chosom Bohem, and we say, Haim Hu, there, in the case of the transitory Mum, do we say, when the mum passes, when the blemish disappears, it becomes fit again. But it's only there, hakol dichuyin, however all other rejection scenarios, or cases, or examples, hayel v'nidchu, nidchu, once they become rejected, like as the, is the case where our Sur Lazozel, original Sur Lazozel, died prematurely, the Sur Lashem at that point becomes rejected, it remains disqualified. V'rav, hahu bohem, Rav, what does he say about that seeming limitation expression? He says that that word bohem tells me be'enayu hu delo mirtzu ha'edei tarovis mirtzu. The balmum, when it is isolated, when it's in separate, so you cannot offer it on the altar. However, in a case that the limbs of a balmum get mixed up with other acceptable sacrificial limbs, so the tarovis, the mixture can be put of the mixture of these limbs, once again, amongst which you have one blemished animal's limbs, that combination or that mixture can be placed on the altar. Kedisnan, as is featured in the following source according to Rebbe Eliezer. The source describes that very situation, Evorim Tamimim Bevorim Bali Mumin, limbs of wholesome, complete, acceptable, blemish-free animals gets mixed up with the limbs of an, we're talking about an Ola sacrifice. An Ola sacrifice is that kind of sacrifice whose limbs, whose entire body, the entire animal is burnt in the fire. All true, it's dismembered in its respective limbs, but the entire animal eventually is placed in the fire. So here I have limbs of a korban Ola, that's tamim, getting mixed up with the limbs of a blemished animal. Rebbe Lozer Omer, im korav harosh shel echad mehem, yakrivu kol harosh in pulon. If before they discovered that there was this mix-up, one of the animal heads was put in the fire of the altar, then put all the rest of the heads in the fire. The svara being that the one head that was already put in the fire, that was the blemished animal. The rest that I'm now, after I discovered there's a problem, all the rest are blemish-free animals. And likewise, krov shel echad mehem yakrivu kol krayim kulan. If the legs of one of the animals was put in the fire before the mix-up became known, then place all the balance, the remainder legs of the animals in the fire. V'chachomim omrim, afilu korvu kulon chutz me'echad mehem, yetze l'beis ha'sreifa. The chachomim disagree, and they say even if you have a situation where all of the limbs were put in the fire already, and one of the limbs remains, that is assumed to be the Baal Mum limb, and it must be taken out of the Beis HaMikdash to the Beis HaSreifa, to the burning site where disqualified sacrifices are dealt with. At this point, Rav explained what he does with the word bohem. Bearing in mind, Rabbi Yochanan had seen in that word that only by mum over do we have leniency, as opposed to the case of the original Sur Lashem when its mate died. That cannot be restored. Rav told us, on the other hand, that bohem taught us Rabbi Eliezer's din in the Tarovas case, the mixture case. The idoch, Rabbi Yochanan, what about his basis for the mixture case? Nafgalei, he learns it from the change in the choice of words. The Torah, instead of using the word bum, it uses the word bohem. That's what the Gemara means over here. Mi bum bohem, from the fact that there's an extra hay that's added. Instead of the Torah writing ki moshchosam bum mum bum, it says it uses the word bohem appears. Ve'idach, bom bohem, lo darsh. Rav, on the other hand, doesn't see anything unique in that Torah choice of the word bohem to justify the revelation of some new halacha. So he doesn't darshan that. as far as Rabbi Yochanan is concerned, the word bohem then is the basis of teaching 2 points. It teaches the limitation or the leniency that's limited to the mum over case, and it also teaches me the tarovis case. As far as Rav is concerned, you have just one drosh available, that is the word bohem, teaching me the tarovis case. We continue in the Gemara. First wide line in the middle, Ula Rav, Nihinami de Bale Chaim Einon Nitchim, granted, according to Rav, that live animals are not subject to permanent rejection. E boy hai nakriv. The choice, though, is open. In other words, Rav says, choose the first one. But why? Based on the idea that Bale Chaim Einon Nitchim, granted, the original one is not disqualified, but why not choose the second one? What motivates and what pushes Rav to use specifically the original Soyer Lashem? Omar Rava. Rav Sovar Lo K'Rab Yosi to Omar Mitzvah Borishon. What motivated Rav, after establishing that Bale Chaim Eino Nitchin, that the original one is not rejected, fine, it's not rejected, but why did he choose that one over the newly identified Soyer Lashem from the second lot drawing? What makes Rav choose the original one? Well, because Rav is based on Reb Yossi that holds Mitzvah Barishon. The preferable approach to choosing things in Mitzvah performance is to choose the first one. On the side of the Gemara, this serves as our topic heading. Afalpi, we've written on the side, Afalpi Sherav Sover Ein Bale Chaim Nitchin, even though Rav holds that live animals are not subject to rejection, permanent rejection, Lomahu Sover Dafko Harishon, why does Rav choose specifically the original Sor Lashem? The Mitzvah Barishon, because the commandment is fulfilled primarily by using the original one. And structurally, you will see a couple of triangles that appear in the Gemara. They represent a chipus mokor shematim l'inyonenu shemitzvah barishon. We're looking for a source that parallels our case that will eventually lead us to the conclusion that mitzvah barishon. But in order to find, if we're looking for a source, we have to find a source that parallels our case. Hence, you will see the Gemara presents the first triangle, a scenario where we, in fact, in this particular source, if you skip to the end of the frame section, you see we've dashed underlined Mitzvah Barishon, and this is under Rabbi Yossi's heading. Rabbi Yossi's Shita is a featured. Nevertheless, we're going to show that the case of this source, which is known as Shalosh Kupos, is not parallel to our case of the original Soyer Lashem. Hence, we're going to come on to a second triangled case, which introduces the case of the Korban Pesach. We now turn to the Gemara. After asking, hey, Rabbi Yossi, which Rabbi Yossi holds Mitzvah Barishon that is parallel to our case of the original Soyer Lashem? E name all Rabbi Yossi the Kupos, if you are going to suggest it is Rabbi Yossi found in the case of the Kupos. Kupos literally are boxes, and you'll see we have a source dealing with the filling up of boxes with the monies that were collected by the Beis Hamikdash for the purchase of public sacrifices. And the source says, Disnan Sholosh Kupos, Sholosh Soyim, there were 3 boxes, each box holding the quantity of 3 se'ah. That's a measure. And there were 3 boxes holding each one 3 se'ah. Shebuhen Tormin Es Halishka. Monies were collected initially from the public, and they were stored in a chamber. The Lishka is the chamber of Shkolim. And once the money was accumulated in this particular chamber, then the money was gathered and placed in boxes. The Kosav Alein Aleph Beis Gimel, and the letters Aleph representing the first base, the second gimel, the third, were written on the boxes. V'tanya, Rabbi Yossi, and Rabbi Yossi teaches Lomo Kosuv Aleim Aleph Beis Gimel. Why was there any need to write on the boxes these letters? Leda, in order to tell us Eze Mehen Nisrima Rishon, which one was filled up first? Behovi Heimeno Rishon, in order to then know that draw the cash used for purchasing sacrifices first from this box. First box to be filled up is the first box which whose money was used for purchasing the public sacrifices. And why the first box? Shemitzvah Brishon. The primary choice in performing mitzvahs is to use the first one. So this might be the source for Rav's din. Choose the first so'ir Lashem, the original one. The Gemara says, Dilma, Shiny Hosa, maybe the cases are different. In the case of the boxes, the Be'idna de Ischazi Kamaisa, Lo Ischazi Basraisa. When the first one became fit, the second one wasn't even in the running. It wasn't a candidate. It was an empty box. However, in our case of the Sawyer, we have two Sawyer Lashems. The original Sawyer Lashem is not fit until the second Sawyer Lashem appears on the scene. You'll say, but wasn't the original Sawyer Lashem the sole Sawyer Lashem upon its original lock drawing before its mate died? That might be true. However, it wasn't fit at that point. As Rashi says, in Dibur Maschel, Be'idna Dischazi Kamaisa Lo Ischazi Basraisa, that's as far as the boxes are concerned. Aval Hai, in the case of our original Sawyer Lashem, Lo Ischazi Kamo Ad Ischazi Basra, it's not fit for being used as a sacrifice until the second Sawyer Lashem came on the scene. She'afal pishe grula lov, even though the original Sawyer Lashem had been chosen as such, eino roi lishchot ad la'achar matan dam hapar. It, the original Sawyer Lashem, wasn't fit to be sacrificed, to be slaughtered, until after the cow blood applications took place in the Kodesh HaKodashim. Ubesoichkach, in the meantime, before that took place, meis chavero, its original mate, died. Veviu shnayim vegrilu aleim. Then two more goats were brought. Lots then drawn for the two new goats. Shikias man shritas asoyer kvar zeachronomed. And when the time for slaughtering the Sawyer Lashem finally arrives, you have at that point two, we'll call them qualified, two eligible Sawyer Lashems. And Rav says, choose the first one. And now, if you're going to say, choose the first one based on the case of the Sholosh Kupos, the three boxes we just described, there is lack of parallel. In the case of the three boxes, there's a clear choice, because at the point that the first box becomes eligible, i.e., it is filled up, the second box isn't even in the running. In the case of our two goats, when the first goat finally becomes eligible for being used as a sacrifice, the second Sawyer Lashem is right there. Elo, we continue in the Gemara three lines from the bottom. Elo, Reb Yossi de Pesach. That will become clear as we go on. It's Reb Yossi in the case of the Korban Pesach, the Sanyo. Hamafrish Pesach Pischo, the Ovad. A person set aside in anticipation of the arrival of the 14th of Nisan, which is the day designated for sacrificing the Korban Pesach. A person set aside originally his Korban Pesach, the Ovad, and it got lost. Vifrish Achir Tachtov, and seeing that his original Korban Pesach got lost, he set aside a replacement one. Vachar Kach Nimtza Rishon, and the first one, the original one, was found. Vare Shnehen Oimdin, and they are now both standing in front of him on the 14th of Nisan. Eizimen Shiyutzi Yikrav Divichacham Chomim, say whichever one he wants to use, he can choose. And Rabbi Yossi Yomer, we dash on Rabbi Yossi to draw your attention to Rabbi Yossi Shid, as we said before, that Rav is based on Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yossi Yomer, mitzvah v'rishon. You should choose the first one. And now here is an example where the first one becomes eligible only, and eligible means it's the 14th of Nisan in the afternoon is the time of its eligibility. At that point, though, when the 14th of Nisan arrives, he has in fact two Korban Pesachs. And Rabbi Yossi says, choose the first. V'im hoyasheni muvchar mimenu. We're at the top of Omid Beis. V'im hoyasheni muvchar mimenu yivienu. If the second one, the newer Korban Pesach, is a choicer animal, so then bring it. But leaving that factor out for right now, assuming that both animals are of equal quality, Rav Yossi says, choose the first one. We continue in the Gemara with Rava evaluating the opinions of Rav and Rabbi Yochanan in light of Tanaic sources, one of them being our Mishnah, and the other Tanaic source being a Brisa. And the Gemara will be preoccupied with Rava's comment and his analysis and evaluating the sources, that Tanaic sources with regard to the Shitos of Rabbi Yochanan and Rav, until Daf Samach Hei Omid Aleph, almost halfway down. Omar Rava, Daiko, Masnisin Kavosi de Rav, Ubraiso Kavosi de Rabbi Yochanan. Daiko means careful reading of our Mishnah would be more accurate according to Rav's approach. In other words, if we look at the Mishnah and make a detailed reading of the Mishnah, paying attention to, as we say, the details, you'll find that it parallels Rav's approach. On the other hand, there's another Tanaic source, a Brisa, that parallels Rabbi Yochanan's approach. The Gemara now continues, Masnisin Kavosei de Rav. And we've used the double underline to highlight these phrases. And on the side under our Mivneh heading, we've written Masnisin Kavosi de Rav and Brisa Kavosi de Rabbi Yochanan. So first we say that Masnisin Kavosi de Rav, the Mishnah bears out Rav's approach. De Kotoni, it said in the Mishnah on Daf Samach Beis Omid Aleph, Im Shel Shem Meis. In the case where you had your two goats and the Lashem died, that Lashem goat died, two new goats were brought, lots were drawn, and the new Lashem is going to then be the replacement. And we infer the idoch k'dekoy koy, as far as the original Sora Mishtalech is concerned, that remains the one to be used. So what do we see from here? That we don't say it is rejected. Just to go over this case again, since we have our original Sora Lashem that dies, the original Sora Lazozel is though still there. I'm going to draw lots to pick two new animals, so I'm going to need to use the new Sora Lashem out of default, because that's the only one that is there. However, I also have two Sora Lazozels. Which one am I choosing? So we infer from here that as far as the new Sora Lashem, that's the one I have to use. But as far as the Sora Lazozel, the original one, maintains its position. It is the one to be used. So that is what Rav would have said, that you use the original one. Braisa kavose d'Rav Yochanan, dekotani. We have a braisa here. Now this braisa is coming on the heels of the Mishnah that we had on Samach Beis Omid Aleph, where the Mishnah said that after choosing a new pair, the Mishnah was vague, and it said, V'hasheni yire ad shiyistoyev. And the second one, in other words, there's one animal I'm going to have to use, and the other one is sent out to graze until it develops a blemish. So when you say, and the second one, what are you referring to? So Rabbi Yochanan has a brisa that supports his approach, the Katani. It says, Sheni. And that Sheni is a reference to that which the Mishnah on Samach Beis, Omer Aleph, had said. It said, Vahasheni, the other one, Yira Ad Shiestoiv. So, Eini Yodea. I don't know, though, Im Sheni Shebezug Rishon. Is that the second animal of the first pair? Im Sheni Shebezug Sheni. Or is it the second one of the replacement pair? Kshu Omer Yomad Chai, when we find the Posuk saying Yomad Chai, that it shall stand there, and we infer Veloi Shechavero Mace, and not the animal whose partner died. So when you say use the animal, but not the animal whose partner died, you're saying don't use the remaining animal of the first pair. My mashma, how does that how is that seen in the words Yomad Chai? So the Gemara explains the term Yomad Chai equals Velo Shekvar Omad, as opposed to an animal that originally was there, was originally eligible, became then disqualified because its mate died, and now with the choosing of a new pair of animals, where the reinstatement might have been the case, yet Yomad Chai is excluding the we should say, as a result of Yomad Chai, so the original animal is considered disqualified. Rashi explains this a little more on the first of the narrow lines. Yomad Chai v'lo shikvar omad v'nidche. Yomad Chai means choose the animal that is now there and not the animal that was once there and disqualified. Al yedei misas chavero v'yachshiv hu bo lachshiv v'lamod. It became disqualified through the death of its mate, and now it's trying to come back into the scene through the new lot drawing on the new pair. Yomad Chai equals Amido Achas Velo Shtei Amidos. We want an animal that became eligible only once, and not an animal that was eligible, became disqualified, and then would become eligible again. That kind of animal we do not want. In simple terms, that is a reference to the first animal. The animal that remains from the first pair is rejected. We have a new marking. You'll notice the house form, and on the side under our Mivne heading, we have a couple of points. We have Roman numerals 1 and 2. They represent Shnei Lishonos, two versions of the Gemara, Bavos HaChocha Me'altikotoni V'od Amar Rabbi Yehuda. We're going to be quoting a section of the Mishnah as a support for one of the shitas, and we're talking about Rav and Rabbi Yochanan. This is Roman numeral number 1, where the Gemara quotes this phrase of the Mishnah, this section of the Mishnah, and under the first version, the purpose is to say Bishul Mala Rabbi Yochanan. You can see that it appears in a triangle right after the source. However, and that means that the Mishnah at first glance would be good Bishlamah for Rabbi Yochanan. On Samach Hei Omet Aleph, you'll notice about a third of the way down from the top, a Roman number 2 appears. There the Gemara says, V'iko de kamoisiv hachi. There's another version of quoting this section of the Mishnah of the Oidam Rabbi Yehuda, and in quoting it according to version number 2, it would be Bishlamo Larav. And you'll notice that in the inverted triangle that follows that Tanaic quote. Hence, you can see two versions. In other words, the same section of the Mishnah is quoted. According to the first version, it would appear at first glance to support Rabbi Yochanan. According to the second version, the way we'll present things, it would appear to support his rival, namely Rav. The house marking is explained also on the side, Mekoros Kedei Levar I Karav I Oy Karab Yochanan. We're going to cite sources to establish whether to follow the Rav approach or Rabbi Yochanan's approach. Triangles will be used to highlight the two directions that are taken as we go along. With the triangle's point facing up, that will be Letovas Rabbi Yochanan. The inverted triangle would be Letovas Rav, for the benefit of Rav. So we continue in the Gemara. Tanan, and we're referring to this as a long question because we're going to ultimately present this as a question on Rav. So you need to go through a few lines of Gemara before the point becomes clear. So we quote from our Mishnah on Samach Beis Amud Aleph. It says in the Mishnah, V'oid Omer Rabbi Yehuda, Nishbach Hadam Yomus HaMishtaleach, Meis HaMishtaleach Yishafech Hadam. Mishnah is quoting Rabbi Yehuda, referring to a situation where one of the two animals, one of the two goats, becomes disqualified. The first scenario has the Nishbach Hadam, where the Sori Lashem was slaughtered, but the blood spilled out before it was ever used. What am I now going to do with the Sori Mishtaleach? The Sori Mishtaleach is expected to stay around a little bit longer, we'll say, it's supposed to stay around until, let's say, the blood of the Sori Lashem has been sprinkled. But it didn't. The blood of the Sori Lashem spilled out, say, prematurely. And the premature meaning before it was used. What do we do with its mate? So the Mishnah says, according to Rabbi Yehuda, the mate dies. You don't use it. And you have the other scenarios where the Mishtaleach dies, and you have the blood of the Sori Lashem, so that's spilled out, it's rejected. Now we've dashed underlined what needs to be emphasized, though. It said in this source, according to the Tana Rabbi Yehuda, Yomus HaMishtaleach. So Bishlamo Rabbi Yochanan di Omar Bale Chaim Nidchin. As far as Rabbi Yochanan's approach, which says that live animals can be rendered disqualified, nidchin, they're pushed away. Mishum hachi yomus hamishtalech. So, with that in mind, I understand perfectly well the Mishnah that says the send away goat shall be put to death, or it's set aside to die, even though it's a living animal. It becomes disqualified. You don't use it. Elo l'Rav, diomar b'aleichayim einon nidchin, amai yomus hamishtaleach. According to Rav, though, that says live animals don't become disqualified, why do you say here yomus hamishtaleach? Why does it die? Omar loch Rav. So Rav answers very simply, aliba d'rabiu lo ko amino. I never said my point of Bali Chaim Eino Nidchin within the Tanaic opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. According to Rabbi Yehuda, it's obvious that to all that Bali Chaim Nidchin. Ki Amino, Rav says, I said my opinion of Bali Chaim Eino Nidchin Aliba de Rabbonan. I said that within the opinion of the Rabbonan who disagree with Rabbi Yehuda. Let us look at the Rashi on the upper part of the narrow lines. Ki komar alibo de Rabbonan. Midok omar Rabbi Yehuda, the oid. In our Mishnah, the term the oid appeared in the context of Rabbi Yehuda. And, of course, it's advisable to have a copy of the Mishnah from Daf Samach Beis Omen Aleph at hand's reach, where the Rabbonan had made mention of Shein Chata Sibur Meso, three lines from the bottom of Samach Beis Omen Aleph. Rabbi Yehuda Omer Yomus, Rabbi Yehuda reacted and said, it shall die. And then the Odom Rabbi Yehuda then went on to say, Nishbach Adam Yomus HaMishtaleach. So Rabbi Yehuda made two comments, the second comment being introduced by the word V'oid. So Rashi goes on to say, from the fact Rabbi Yehuda said V'oid Lashminen, to tell us the Balei Chaim Nidchin, Mechlal Desham Inhu L'Rabbona D'Amri, it must be that Rabbi Yehuda had heard the Rabbonan, those upon whom he disagrees, he must have heard them saying, Sheni Shebezug Rishon Korev, that the second one of the first pair is the one that is offered. The Baalei Chayim Ein Nidchin, live animals are not rendered unfit. The Sheni Shebezug Sheni Yireh, and the second animal of the replacement pair is the one that set out to graze. Shein chata sibur mesa. According to the Chachomim, public sin offerings don't die. They're not put out. They're not put aside to die. They're sent out to graze until they develop a blemish and then are redeemed. V'osa lefligula betarti. Then comes along Rabbi Yehuda to argue on two points. We say 2 points, it's important to emphasize this will justify the use of the word v'id on the part of Rabbi Yehuda, meaning he has a second point. So what are the 2 points? Deko amrisu, Rabbi Yehuda addresses the Rabbonan in the Mishnah, saying, you hold ein chatas sibur mesa, public sin offerings are not set aside to die, when even though they become disqualified, they're not set aside to die. Ani Omer Tomus, I disagree and say they are subject to being put aside to die. The Ud, on a second point, Rabbi Yehuda in the Mishnah makes, Lo bozeh shamartem olav yireh, ani Omer Yomus. Not, I don't agree with you with regard to the one that you said is sent out to graze, namely, you said that the second one of the second pair, the new pair, the one that's extra of the new pair is the one set out to graze. It's not concerning that one that ani omer yomus that I said it shall die. Ela hu yikrav, rather use the second one of the second pair. V'sheni shebezug rishon yomus, and as far as the first pair is concerned, the second one of the first pair, it is to die. So there are 2 points controversy according to this approach that you see in the Mishnah. And being that we've set things up like this, so this fits in well according to Rav's approach. Namely, Rabbi Yehuda, one of the points of controversy has to do with Baalei Chayim Nidchin or Ein Nidchin, where Rabbi Yehuda will say Baalei Chayim are Nidchin and the Rabbon will say not Nidchin. And we also saw a second point of disagreement as far as the din of Chatas Tzibur is concerned. So we turn back to the Gemara. After having said Vishlamo l'Rav, we continue in the Gemara. Actually, we should with the inverted triangle at this point. Vishlamo l'Rav, beha pligi Rabbi Yehuda v'Rabbonan. As far as Rav is concerned, we just presented in the previous Rashi the detailed machloikis between the Rabbonan and Rabbi Yehuda. And as we saw in the Rashi, which we read carefully, there are 2 points of controversy, and hence justifying the use of the word v'oid in the Mishnah. And what were the 2 points of controversy? One concerned, does the rule of chatas mesa, does that apply to a public sin offering? And the second point of controversy had to do with Baalei Chayim Nidchin, where the Rabbonin would say, choose the remaining animal of the first pair. Rabbi Yehuda will tell you, choose the new animal of the second pair. Continuing in the Gemara, Elo l'Rabbi Yochanan b'mai pliki. According to Rabbi Yochanan, he said that everyone holds, you'll choose the second one of the second pair. Because as far as Rabbi Yochanan is concerned, everyone holds Baalei Chayim Nidchin. So what is the second point of Machlokes? In other words, that's not going to be a point of Machlokes. So We know that there are two points of controversy between the Rabbanan and Rabbi Yehuda in the Mishnah. But looking at things through the eyes of Rabbi Yochanan, there's only one point of controversy. Elo l'Rabbi Yochanan, that's the Gemara's question right now. Elo Rabbi Yochanan b'mai pliki. According to Rabbi Yochanan, who said that everyone will hold that the first, the remaining animal of the first pair is rejected, based on the idea of Baalei Chayim Nidchin. So then, what is the double machlokes between Rabbi Yehuda and the Rabbonon in the Mishnah? Well, Omar Rava, Ho Amrina, but we said already before, Daiko Masnisin Kavosei Darav. The Mishnah, in fact, is read more accurately in following Rav's approach. And this, of course, this issue of the Odom Rabbi Yehuda is a quote from our Mishnah. And hence, you see that the Mishnah reads more smoothly according to Rav's approach. Tanan. Now we introduce our second house. And as we said earlier, these are sources to determine whose approach, Rav or Rabbi Yochanan, is better in light of Tanaic sources. Tanan, She'ein Chatas Sibor Mesa. Well, this is a quote from our Mishnah, again on Samach Beis Amud Aleph at the bottom, where the Rabbonan had said that the animal that I'm not going to be using, the Sheni is Yireh, the animal that I'm not going to be using is sent out to graze, as opposed to set aside to die. And that's because Ein Chatas Sibor Mesa. Now, we infer, Ha Diyochid Ki Hai Gavna, a parallel case, however, by a private individual, Mesa, it would be set aside to die based on the idea of Chatos Shekipru Baaleha, a Chatos, where you have an owner of an animal, an owner of a korban chatos, and it got lost, and he had to find a replacement animal. The owner, after choosing one of them, the other one, being that we're talking about a private individual, the other one is set aside to die, based on this idea of a chatos shekipru baleo, that would represent a sin offering whose owner already received atonement through another animal. So, from our Mishnah, we are medayik, that a yochid, under similar circumstances, his korban chatos, the one that he's not using, is set aside to die. Before we go further in the Gemara, we glance at the Rashi, Bishlamol the Rabbi Yochanan, toward the end of the narrow lines. According to Rabbi Yochanan de Omar, Yireh de Masnisin, the Rabbonin who said it shall be sent out to graze, according to Rabbi Yochanan, which one is sent out to graze? Asheni shebezug rishon ka'amar. He was saying the remaining animal of the first pair is the one that I'm going to send out to graze. It's disqualified. Mishkachas law, we then find a parallel case by a private person. Dilu yochid ki hai gavno, a private person under similar circumstances, the remainder animal, the one that's not used, Tomus is set aside to die. Mishum, based on the rule of Chatos Shekipru Baleo, you have a sin offering whose owner achieved atonement through another animal. So far, we are not being clear yet. Somewhat still abstract. What do you mean here when you say things work out well according to Rabbi Yochanan? So the Gemara explains, Kidur Rabbi Abba Marav, based on the teaching of Rabbi Abba Marav, the Omar Rabbi Abba Omar Rav, and here we continue at the top of Samach Hayomet Aleph, Hakol Moidim, everyone will agree. Everyone is a reference to a machlokis between Rabbi and the Rabbonon, that is found in Maseches Tmura. And Rashi presents a great deal of background, necessary background, in order to understand what's going on in our Gemara here. And we'll have to go through the Rashi in order to achieve some level of clarity. But in the meantime, Rabbi Abba, quoting Rav, says, everyone will agree, that means everyone is Rebbe and the Rabbonin, and Maseches Temura will agree, She'im Niskaper, B'She'eino Avudov, if you choose the animal that was never lost, that was never disqualified, Avudo Mesa, the one that had been lost or disqualified, that one will die. And we were medayik in our Mishnah that if, since it's a Chatas Sibur, so the Rabbanan say it's Eino Mesa, but on a private level, it would be set aside to die. So as far as Rabbi Abba Marav's din, he says that if you choose the remaining animal of the, not the remaining, but rather the Eino Avuda, the replacement animal for your atonement, the one that was original, it shall die. That fits in very well according to Rabbi Yochanan's approach. He is the one that said that you are to choose, when you choose the second one, so the first one, in a public sense, in public circumstances, so it set out the graze, but on a private level, it will die. Well, that reflects Rabbi Yochanan very well, who mentioned Balei Chaim Nidchin, that a live animal can be rejected and set aside to die. Elo l'Rav, but according to Rav, Havilei kemafishtei chatos l'achrayis. According to Rav, that says, choose the original animal. The original animal became qualified only at a point in time that I set aside the replacement animal. So I had two animals to serve as a chatas, and I had to choose one of them. That is similar to a person who sets aside two sin offerings, one serving as a backup for the one he will be choosing. The Omer Rabbi Shaya, Hifrishtei Chatos Lachrayas, Rabbi Shaya teaches that when you have someone setting aside two sin offerings, one of them is to serve as a guarantee for the other. Lachrayas, in common jargon, we would just say it's the backup animal. Miskaper Bachas Mehem Ashniya Tira. You use one of them, you choose one of them, and the second one is set out to graze. And this point set out to graze would not then conform to that which we saw in the Mishnah where we were medayik. We inferred that since it's a chatas sibur, so it doesn't die, but on a private level it would die. But according to Rav's approach, that diuk would not be in place, and hence this represents a difficulty for Rav. Now, so far we said a lot, but still it might seem a bit abstract, and that's very simply because we are lacking the background for appreciating this section of Gemara. In order to achieve that background, we look at the Rashi on the Samach Dalam Beis, the last of the narrow lines, Kederebi Abba, the Omar B'Maseches Tmura. Rabbi Abba commented in Maseches Tmura Gabi Plukta de Rebbe V'Rabbonon, in the context of a controversy between Rebbe and Rama Shnechliku, they argued about the following case. B'mafrish chatoso, person who had set aside his sin offering. A person committed a sin that warrants the bringing of a sin offering. So he set aside an animal to serve as his sin offering. V'nevdo, and it got lost. The Hifrish Acheres Tachtel, and he set aside a replacement animal. The Nimseis Horishona, and the original one was found. Vareshtein Omdos, and behold, the two are present. The Ka'omar Rebbe says, Miskaber Bachas Meir Shnia Tomus, Rebbe says, choose one of them, and the second one will die, is set aside to die. It's not, it's disqualified, it's not even to be redeemed. V'chachomim oimrim ein chatos shekipru bala mesa, the concept of chata shemesa bala, shekipru bala, that a chatas whose owner achieved atonement, that sin offering that you're not using is set aside to die, that applies elishanimtzes, the achar shekipru bala. It's where the original animal that had been lost was recovered after the owner achieved his atonement. If the original animal was found prior to his atonement, but after the replacement one was set aside, we say, it, the one that he doesn't use, is set out to graze. The Om Rabbi Abba, Rabbi Abba commented on this, Hakol Moedim, everyone will agree, Shem Niskaber B'Shein Avuda, if he chose the animal that was never lost, in other words, this person who needs to bring a sin offering chose the replacement animal for his offering. The Hainu Shnia She'ufru Shachron. That's the second one, and in our sugya, the parallel to that would be what we call the Sheni Shibazug Sheni. If that's the one that's chosen, Rabbi Abba tells you, everyone will agree, Avuda Mesa. The one that had been lost is set aside to die. Shikach Nemra Halacha Moshe Misinai. Thusly, the oral tradition says, Chatos She'avdav in Yisgavu L'Vacheres, a sin offering that got lost, and the owner achieved his atonement through another one, Harishona Mesa, the original one, is set aside to die. So as far as Rabbi Abba is concerned, that case, the case where he chooses to achieve his atonement through the second animal, everyone agrees that the first one will die. Lo nechliku elo sheniskabu rishona v'shniyamedes. Rabbi and Rabbonin argue in a case where he achieved his atonement through the original animal, and the replacement one is still there. Rabbi Savar, Rebbe holds, Mafrish Litzorech Tashlume Avud Ka'avudami. When you set aside an animal because an original animal got lost, that's called, you set it aside as a replacement for something that was lost, Ka'avudami. It is considered like a loss. It's considered Avud. So in a case where you chose the first one and the second one, which was set aside, initially it was set aside as a replacement for that which was lost, it's considered like lost. Rabbonan, and hence Rebbe said, Mesa. Rabbonan Savri, Lav Ka'avudami. Rabbonan say, no, in that case it's not considered like a lost animal. Vigabi Masnisin Dehocha, regarding our Mishnah, according to Rabbi Yochanan, he said the original animal, the original surviving animal of the first pair, the Mishnah said regarding that it set out to graze. And it's because of that the Mishnah had to give the reason why is it being set out to graze. Mishum be'ein chatas sibur mesa. Because in our mission we're dealing with a public sin offering. However, under private circumstances, it would be set aside to die. To Havile, because our Mishnah represents a case of Niskab Rishenim Avuda. Vadchuya Kayemes, Rabbi Yochanan's approach said, use the second or the replacement animal. The survivor of the first pair is rejected. It's dechui. It's the one that you pushed aside, and it's around. V'akol modim shemesa. Under those circumstances, everyone agrees that it will die. If it were a private animal, it would die. Rebbe and the Rabbonim would not argue about that case where you chose the second one, the replacement one. The original one will die. Hence, the Mishnah reads very smoothly according to Rabbi Yochanan's approach. We pointed out, however, according to Rav, things were not smooth. Let's continue with the Rashi at the top, of Samachem and Aleph. Elo l'Rav di Omar. Rav, again, Rashi at the top. Elo l'Rav di Omar. Shbesheni, shbezug sheni, katoni masnis in dire. According to our Mishnah, Rav says that the animals can be set out to graze is the one of the second pair, the replacement one that I don't need because I have the original surviving animal. He said the second one of the second pair is set out to graze. Barishon shenidche iska pair, you are to choose the original one, the surviving one of the original pair. Amai, why are you inferring ha tiyochit tamus? When according to Rav, that you are choosing the original animal, and the replacement animal that was never in a state of disqualification. Rav says regarding that, it is sent out to graze. But then we had a diuk in the Mishnah that it's sent out to graze on kosu chata sibor, but on a private level, it would die. Why would it die? Lo mi bayin le rabbonon de lo mesa. I don't have to tell you, according to the rabbonon, that it's not to die. That's obvious. Dohaniskaper b'dichuya. He is choosing specifically the animal that had been temporarily disqualified. Vinu amri, and they hold mafrish la'ovid lavka ovidomi. The animal that you set aside to replace that which is lost, it's not considered a loss. It's not considered lost. So as far as the Rabbonin are concerned, it's obvious that since you are choosing the original animal, the replacement one is not going to die. Even according to Rebbe, who entertained the possibility of death for the unused animal, even according to Rebbe, it shall not die. Sharei lohu frish l'tashlume avud. In our Mishnah's case, the replacement pair where the second lot drawing took place, it wasn't there to replace that which was lost. Sharei mitchilo hoyo rishon kayam. The original animal, the one that didn't die from the first pair, was there all the time. It was standing there the whole time. Ubishvil hamishtalech shemes hutzutov ishnaim. Only because its partner one, the sendaway goat of the original pair, had died. And that's why he needed to bring two more. The cave on the Ein Bali Chayim Nidchin, and as far as Rav is concerned, live animals are not rendered disqualified. Mei Kora I Boi Hai Makriv. From the very outset, he had that option and in fact expectation of using the first animal from the first pair. So he was directed into that direction of using the first animal, because Bali Chaim Eino Nidchin, and that original survivor never was lost. So in setting aside the second pair, Vavilei Kemafrish Shtei Chatos Lachrayas, it's no different than someone setting aside two sin offerings, one to serve as a backup for the other one. Shim Yovad Echod Mehem Yakriv Es Chaveruv. One gets lost, he'll have the second one there as backup. And as far as that din is concerned, mafrish tei chatos lachrayis, well, Reb Oshia already says the halacha, that where you choose one, the second one, and here we're talking even on a private basis, the second one is set out to graze, leaving no room for the diuk in our Mishnah. In our Mishnah, we said it's only because it's a public sin offering does it not die. But if it were private, it would die. But it shouldn't be like that. According to Rav's approach, that you choose the survivor of the first pair, the second pair that was set aside, being that the survivor of the first pair was never lost, the setting aside of the two new goats for the second lot drawing is a case similar to Ravosh, this din of Mafushtei Chatos Lachrayas. We continue in the Rashi, V'om Ravoshaya, Shnei Sheni Yireh, Afilu L'Rebbe. The second animal is sent out to graze, even according to Rebbe, Sharei Lohu Fushli, but it wasn't set aside because of a loss. So trying to make this simple, and this is, of course, for a person who's learning these halachas for the first time, this is not simple at all, but trying to simplify things even so, according to Rav, the diuk that we made, the inference that we made, that had this been a private scenario, there would have been death for the unchosen animal, that there's no room for making that inference. The Gemara answers, we turn back to the Gemara, five lines from the top. Kevon the Omar Rava. Since Rava says, Rav Sovar Lo Kerabiyosi Domar Mitzvah Barishon, since in Rav's approach, and we saw this on Daf Samach Dalet, where Rav holds like Rabiosi, that says you must use the original animal. At the point that you were drawing lots on the second, on the replacement goats, on the two new goats, you knew at that point you weren't going to use the second goat of that new pair. Me'ikoro kemafrish le'ibud domi. It was like a case of setting aside an animal to replace that which was lost. And our Mishnah, Rashi points this out, our Mishnah is according to Rebbe. That's what it says in Maseches Tmura, that Rav sets up our Mishnah here in Yuma like Rebbe, and Rebbe holds that the animal, in the case of Mafrish Le'ibud, the one that you do not use, when you choose, let us say, the animal that was temporarily disqualified, the other one is set aside to die. So it's, as far as Rava is concerned, since we're introducing the old factor, Rav holds like Rav Yossi, Mitzvah Rishon, so the second pair is like a case of Mafrish Le'ibud, and is not like the case of Mafrish Shtei Chatois L'Achrayus. Hence, we understand Mesa, the Diuk of Mesa in the Mishnah, according to Rav as well. Tanan, another housemarking, which, as we said, is an attempt to use information from a Tanaic source to determine Rav versus Rabbi Yochanan, who is more acceptable. So we quote from the Mishnah, again, from Samach Beis Omer Aleph, Tanan, Rabbi Yehuda Oimer, Tomus. Upon hearing the Rabbonon saying that Ein Chatas Sibur Mesa, that it doesn't die, so Rabbi Yehuda says it dies. Bishlamo the Rabbi Yochan the Omar, Sheni Shebezug Rishon Yireh, the Rabbi Yehuda Yomus, according to Rabbi Yochanan, who said you are to choose the second one of the second pair, but the survivor of the first pair, it is sent out to graze. And Rabbi Yehuda would say that that animal isn't set out to graze, but rather it shall die. Namely, according to Rabbi Yochanan, the remainder animal of the first pair is what the Rabbonon and Rabbi Yehuda are arguing about. So, miskaper b'sheni shebezug sheni, you will use the second one of the replacement pair. Elol Rav the Omar sheni shebezug sheni yireh l'Rabbi Yehuda tom yomus, but according to Rav's approach, that you are not going to be using the second one of the replacement pair. And as far as the Rabbonin are concerned, so it's set out to graze. According to Rabbi Yehuda, it's set aside to die. So as far as Rav is concerned, and we have to tie a lot of information together in 1 minute, according to Rav, so the question arises, l'Rabbi Yehuda b'may michbar. According to Rabbi Yehuda the Tano, how is he going to achieve his atonement? According to Rabbi Yehuda the Tano, so the second Sawyer Lashem is set aside to die. That's what he said in the Mishnah. As far as the original Sawyer Lashem, don't forget, Rabbi Yehuda held, we saw this back on Daf Samach Dalid that Rabbi Yehuda held Bale Chayim Nidchin. Rav pointed out back on Samach Dalid that I never said my opinion within Rabbi Yehuda. As far as Rabbi Yehuda is concerned, it's clear that Bale Chayim are Nidchin. So the first, according to Rabbi Yehuda, the Sawyer Lashem of the first pair also is disqualified. So the question then is, according to the Tana Rabbi Yehuda, what is available for him to achieve atonement? In the Beis Hamikdash, which one would they use? Which Sawyer, the Sawyer Lashem, the Sawyer Lashem of the second pair that, according to Rav, is, as far as Rabbi Yehuda is concerned, is set aside to die, and the Sawyer Lashem of the first pair, the surviving Sawyer Lashem, Balei Chayim Nidchin, it's also disqualified. The Gemara answers, Mi Savris Rabbi Yehuda, who says that Rabbi Yehuda in the Mishnah, who said Tomus, who says that when he said his expression, he said his ruling, Tomus, Asheni Shebezug Sheni Koi, that his Tomus comment is going on that which the Tanakama had said is set out to graze. Now, one thing is for sure. As far as Rav is concerned, the Rabbonin who said it is set out to graze, that was the second one of the replacement pair. That's clear. Rabbi Yehuda said Tomus. Was he referring to that one? No. Rabbi Yehuda Asheni Shebezug Rishon Koi. He says Tomus regarding the survivor of the first pair. And of course, he says it's set out to die. And as far as Rabbi Yehuda is concerned, that fits in very well with the scheme of things. Balei Chayim Nidchin, it's rejected. And it's set out to die. It's set aside to die. So Rabbi Yehuda was going on the Sheni Shebezug Rishon, that it is the one to die. Regarding that one, Rav says, the Lefidot Tanakama, you will get your kapora through that. And as far as your question is concerned, according to Rabbi Yehuda, which Sawyer Lashem is available for use? So he'll tell you the second Sawyer Lashem, the Sawyer Lashem of the replacement pair. So Rav gets out of that problem as well. The Ika de Komoisiv Hochi. And as we said earlier, there's a Roman numeral number 2, and we now quote the section of the Mishnah of the Odom Rebuta in a different direction. Whereas according to Roman numeral number 1, this quote was then going to support Rabbi Yochanan's approach and be difficult for Rav. Here we're going to present it in such a way that it will support Rav and be difficult for Rabbi Yochanan. So we continue. The Iko de Moisiv Hochi, the Oidom Rabbi Yehuda, Nishbach Hadam, Yomus Hamishtaleach. Rabbi Yehuda said in the Mishnah that in the case that the blood of the Sor Lashem spills out prematurely, so it's Sor Hamishtaleach, its partner, send away goat, is set aside to die. Meis Hamishtaleach. If the send-away, the original send-away goat dies, and you had the blood, you had slaughtered the Sawyer Lashem, it's disqualified. Spill it out. Bishlamo l'Rav, as far as Rav is concerned, Reisha, Pligi, Bechatos, Tzibor, the Reisha is a reference to the opening statement of Rabbi Yehuda in the Mishnah. And if you have Samach Beis Amalf in front of you, you would look at the Mishnah there, four lines from the bottom, at the end of the line, he said, She'ein Chatos Tzibur Mesa. Well, that's Rabbi Yehuda. That's the Rabbonon upon which Rabbi Yehuda says, Tomus. So that is Rabbi Yehuda's opening statement, which was three lines from the bottom. Rabbi Yehuda Omer Tomus, Reisha Pligi Bechata Sibor. That's their first point of controversy. Veseifa Pligi Bebalei Chayim. The continuation in the mission of the Odom Rabbi Yehuda there is reflecting his opinion of Balei Chayim Nidchin, and the Rabbanan disagree with that. They say you will choose the surviving one of the first pair, because Balei Chayim Ein Nidchin. Rabbi Yehuda will say Balei Chayim Nidchin, and Rav pointed this out earlier, that according to Rabbi Yehuda, Balei Chayim Nidchin, according to Rabbanan, Ein Balei Chayim Nidchin. And the result of that is, according to the Rabbanan, you'll use the surviving one of the first pair, and according to Rabbi Yehuda, you use the replacement pair. Elul Rabbi Yochanan might be oid, but according to Rabbi Yochanan, that said according to the Rabbanan as well in the Mishnah, according to all opinions, you are going to be using the second one of the replacement pair. So, what is the second point of controversy then between the Rabbanan and Rabbi Yehuda to justify the word v'oid? Kasha, this remains a point of difficulty. So, as you can see, we've gone through a sugya where we had a machlokis Rav and Rabbi Yochanan. The Mishnah had said that when the your original pair of goats, there a disqualification arose, you're going to have to draw lots on a replacement pair to find one to replace the truly lost animal. Now, I have two of the other animals still there. Which one do I choose? According to Rav, choose the survivor of the original pair. According to Rabbi Yochanan, choose the replacement pair. And whatever survived from the original pair is totally disqualified. That was their machlokas, Rav and Rabbi Yochanan. We try to bring Tanaic sources, quotes from our Mishnah on Samach Beis and Aleph, to show which way would be more appropriate. We went through the sukkah, noticing the two directions that things were taking as we went along. As far as the end of the sukkah is concerned, so we're leaving Rabbi Yochanan with a bit of a difficulty in terms of trying to understand the double machlokis, Rabbanan, Tanakama, and Rabbi Yehuda, that we saw in the Mishnah. The sugya that we've just gone through, in my humble opinion, is a sugya that for first-time learners of these topics of Chatas Shemesu, Chatas Shekipu Baleo, and Mafrish Dechatos Lachrayas, and Mafrish La'ovud, and the Machlokas between Rebbe and the Rabbanan in Maseches Tumah, all these are very new points, and they could serve as creating a sense of confusion and lack of clarity. My words of encouragement are that after you go over this sukkah maybe a couple of times, and certainly after you go through the other Gemaras that we refer to, primarily the Maseches Tumah, this Gemara and its like become easier to understand. Before we conclude, let us just remind you that if you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.